Today's service is the Order of Matin service, found printed on page 32. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open thou my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Come, let us worship the Lord. Responsibly read the introit as found printed on the insert in the bulletin. Rejoice in the Lord always.
Again, I rejoice.
Blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob,
whose hope is in the Lord his God,
who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. Who executes justice for the oppressed.
Who gives food to the hungry.
The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind.
The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always.
Rejoice.
You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. Our Old Testament reading is found written in Zephaniah, the third chapter. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear not, O Zion, let not your hands grow weak. The Lord, your God, is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival, so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you in. At that time, when I gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our epistle reading is found written in Paul's letter to the Philippians, the 4th chapter. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Holy Gospel reading is found written in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter. Please rise in reverence to the Gospel. The disciples of John reported all these things to him, and John, calling 2 of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? In that hour, he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits. And on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And he answered them, Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet, the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. You may be seated for the hymn of the day. Brothers and sisters in Christ of Zion Lutheran Church, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to him, the Almighty God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, at times life is uncertain, and many cause us to shift our focus from what's truly important, your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us always to have our hearts and minds solely focused upon you and the saving grace of your Son. Amen. John the Baptist sent two of his disciples to Jesus because he knew his time was almost up. He had to decrease while Jesus had to increase. He had been proclaiming the coming of Jesus in the wilderness and the regions around the Jordan River. And besides his task to prepare the way of the Lord, he spent his time admonishing the people to bring them to repentance. And no one felt this admonition more so than King Herod, the petty ruler of Galilee. The Baptist's lawful chiding of his great sin, incest, with his brother's wife, led to his arrest and to his imprisonment. And now there's much debate about the reason or the intention of John sending his disciples to Jesus to ask if he was indeed the Christ. So why did he do it? Why did he send his disciples to question Jesus in order to find out if Jesus was truly the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah? The prevailing thought for many decades is that John was proving to his disciples that Jesus was the Christ, that he was indeed the long-awaited Messiah. And the assertion is that his disciples doubted that Jesus was the Messiah. And surely it was hard to see Jesus as the Messiah for John's disciples because of all the strife that was happening during that time. Israel and Judea were under Roman occupation. Herod and Pilate ruled their people harshly. Only a few decades ago, Herod's father ordered the slaughter of the innocents in Bethlehem. Radical and violent zealots and rebels were cropping up everywhere, causing all manner of troubles. So it was only natural for John's disciples to fall into doubt. For if Jesus was the Christ, if he was the long-awaited Messiah, these things would not be happening. The coming Messiah was to restore David's kingdom, to sit on David's throne. But this was not the case. In fact, David's kingdom only seemed to be a wish of a wish, and David's throne sat empty. It would be hard to hold unto such faith under such circumstances. So it's only natural for John's disciples to fall into doubt regarding Jesus. But you see, there is no evidence for this position within Scripture. What Scripture does reveal directs us more towards the other reason as to why John sent his disciples to Jesus. The other position that has formed and has gained traction in recent decades is that it wasn't John's disciples that doubted Jesus, but rather John himself who doubted. But why would John doubt? Even for a moment. He had proclaimed that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So why would he doubt? Not only for the reasons that have been stated before, that Israel and Judea were oppressed land, rife with violence and uncertainty, but also for the fact that John himself is suffering in prison. Being in such a situation certainly would crop up thoughts of doubt and uncertainty, and let them boil and arise, especially when one is left alone for days on end. But there's more to this. Let us look at today's text and what it has to say. The disciples of John reported all these things to him. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" You see, John didn't raise any questions or any doubts until his disciples told him all these things. There was something in the disciples' reports that caused John to question whether Jesus was the Messiah. And what are all these things? Well, earlier in that chapter, verses 1 through 17, Jesus does something that's really special, and perhaps no one expected it. In these 17 verses, Jesus performs two miracles worth noting. First, he heals the centurion's servant, and then he raises the widow's son in Nain from the dead, secondly. And we might look at these and say, well, so what? So what? There's nothing out of the ordinary in these miracles. Jesus raised several people from the dead, Lazarus to name one, and he healed many, many more than just the centurion's servant. And all these healings, all these miracles before, never caused John to raise doubts or questions. But you see, these are the first two miracles that Jesus did, that Jesus performed for the Gentiles. Now, this would cause quite the shock. How could the long-awaited Messiah show such favor to the Gentiles? They are unclean. Jesus even said that he came for the lost sheep of Israel. So why the centurion's servant? Why the widow's son? And Nain was primarily a Gentile city. So we can assume that this woman was a Gentile. It is true that he did come for the lost sheep of Israel. But Christ did say that he has other sheep that were not of this fold, the fold of Israel. And these sheep, not of Israel, hear his voice, and they obey. So did John really doubt? Did John the Baptist doubt? It seems so. It seems that these thoughts flitted across his mind. Perhaps it was just a moment. But to Christ, these doubts are irrelevant. He overlooks it. He knows that John's body and soul are in great torment, and he does not reprimand John. Instead, Jesus gives words of reassurance to John. After they asked if he was the Christ, Jesus healed many of the people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And he answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." The actions and the words of Christ put any doubts to rest in John and within ourselves as well. In that moment, John was the poor. He was the poor in spirit that had the good news preached to him. And what is this good news, this gospel? The gospel is the confession of St. Peter, of the thief on the cross, of John himself, and all the saints that have gone on before us. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, and confesses that he gave himself as a sacrifice for all, preaches the good news. This is the gospel that Christ brought to us, that he brought to mankind, that he brought to you, brothers and sisters. And by this good news, this gospel, the dead are indeed raised up. They are given life. For all who believe that Jesus is the way, that Jesus is the truth, that Jesus is the life, will have everlasting life. While Jesus brought and fulfilled this gospel to us, he is not alone in preaching it. John the Baptist's mission, his life, was to proclaim the repentance of sins. It was his task to be that bulldozer, as Reverend Hansen rightly calls him, that would clear the way for the truth to come, that all might have life. His task was to train and to prepare the saints of God to receive the salvation that Christ brought that first time. John cleared the way and preached the good news that the Messiah was right on his heels. When this is done, when Christ's servants preach the good news, the dead are indeed given life. They are given a new life in this life with peace and certainty that Christ is their Savior. And they are given a new life on the day of resurrection. In this manner, then, we can say that John the Baptist was the first true Christian minister of God. Blessed is John the Baptist who came in the name of the Lord. For all who come in the name of the Lord are blessed and sanctified. This also holds true for ministers today. Christ's under-shepherds all come in his name. Pastors today have the same task as John the Baptist, more or less. They still have the duty to preach, teach, and proclaim the gospel, which leads to life eternal. They too have the duty of clearing the way. Unlike John, they clear the way and prepare the saints, you, brothers and sisters, for Christ's second coming, for the day of resurrection. They are to guard the sheep until the return of the Master Shepherd. What an earnest task is bestowed upon them that has been handed to them. And until that day, until the final day, they are called upon the shepherd. They are called upon to shepherd and guide the flock. They are called upon by Christ himself to provide for those under their care. And in this sense, the idea of the bulldozer doesn't rightly apply. Rather, we should think of the pastor as an ox tied to a treadmill, grinding out wheat. Yes, your next pastor, Zion, will be an ox. He will work countless hours, often unseen. Countless hours, often unseen by many, but Christ alone. And while he will guide you, he will also be your servant. Much like an ox serves many with his labor. The ox on the mill grinds and crushes the smallest grains within Scripture, so that goodness may come of it. The milled grain becomes flour. That flour is then sifted. It is weighed and measured out. That something good and great may come from that. The flour is taken and baked into bread that many may partake of it and enjoy it that they may be filled. But the ox, the pastor, does not choose this. He did not choose the mill. He was led there by his master and by your master. It is not the ox's job to do this. It is his task. It is his life. It is not his career. It is the life of the Christian, and specifically for the pastor to do this. And for this reason, St. Paul says that the ox is not to be muzzled, lest he be unable to partake of what is before him, and he perish. But in this I say to you, brothers and sisters, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious, for the master is bringing an ox to you to tread out the grain, to produce daily bread for the soul, for you. The Lord is at hand. Do not be uneasy. Do not muzzle the ox. St. Paul exhorts you to call upon God and to let all your requests be made known to God. And his peace will guard your hearts and your minds. Do not be like John the Baptist and St. Peter, that their anxious minds and their anxious souls caused them to lose sight of Jesus. Rather, focus solely upon Christ. Look to him for your direction. And he who is least in the kingdom of God, namely Jesus Christ our Lord, will serve you with all humbleness and delight, both now and until life everlasting. Amen. Now may the peace of our Father guard our hearts and minds, and the love of Christ strengthen and preserve us, and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit guide us in all things until life everlasting. Amen. Please rise for the Canticle Hymn. Lord our God, you declared Israel to be your people and brought them out of Egypt. You desired their salvation, even when they would not listen to your voice. Since you have called and gathered us also to be your people, open our hearts to listen and gladly submit to your word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, you sent John the Baptist to prepare the way of the Lord, as prophesied by Isaiah, who foretold the Christ. Remember those pastors whom you have called to proclaim your word today. Give them wisdom and courage as they admonish and absolve your people by your word. Lord of the church, as this congregation is in a time of pastoral vacancy, grant by your grace that Zion continually be fed by your word, which sustains them unto salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Lord, you call and gather us into your family. So bless the households of this congregation, about their work of strengthening marriage and raising children. Let their love abound more and more with knowledge and discernment, and fill their homes with the righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, your forerunner prepared the way for the one who is mightier than all, your Son Jesus. For Christ's sake, we entrust to you those in need of healing, comfort, and rescue, especially Ed McCullough, Jean Ream, Harold Merkel, Esther Schweier, Jim McCullough, Joyce Lechner, Aubrey Art, Sean Mendez, Austin Art, Thomas Etzler, the Reverend David and Barbara Bush, Barbara Wolford, Charlotte Davis, Maya Kala, Wanda Schweier, Kimmy Miller, and Patricia Lee. Have mercy upon them, deliver them according to your will, and strengthen them in faith, that they might be assured of your faithfulness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, by the word of your servant, you prepared all flesh to see the salvation of God. Prepare also the hearts of all who kneel at your altar. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, entrusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. announcements. The cheese balls are ready, and they are in the fridge. If you did not order a cheese ball, first of all, don't take the cheese balls out of the fridge if you didn't order any. But if you wish to order some, the orders need to be in by next Saturday, this coming Saturday. Tuesday is the Ladies' Aid Christmas party at 6 p.m. If you are involved with that, do not forget. Wednesday is recital practice from 6 to 7. And after that, at 7:30, is the midweek Advent service at St. Thomas. I will be preaching this coming Wednesday, so if you can't get enough of me today, I'll be there. That is all the announcements I have. Thank you for coming. I would like to say that next Saturday, I will be married. So you will not see me for a little while. I will be back, I think, the second or third week of January. So I look forward to seeing you guys again.